Alchemy.
Yo.
Yo. Alright, so I can explain. Oh. I said I can explain. About the delay.
Huh?
Can you hear me?
Hear me?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
I said I can explain for the late start.
Oh, please you.
Yeah, so a friend of mine who I hadn't talked to in forever hit me up and was like, hey, can I call you? And I said, yeah, and I haven't talked to them for like years. So then they hit me up a little later than expected. They didn't call me until like 20 till. I was like, damn. So I was hoping the conversation was going to be over. But then about the time I texted you, I was like, let me text somebody real quick. So I had to text you. I'm like, I'm trying to like not be rude, you know?
Yeah.
But speed up the conversation.
I got you.
Okay. You ever been on one of those calls?
Yeah.
You don't want to be like, hey, so, oh, by the way, I got to go.
Yeah, no, I feel you.
Okay. Yeah, so, wait, what are the phrases you use to get off the phone?
I don't know.
Oh, come on. I do this. I always do this. Well, that's mine. That's mine right there.
Yeah.
As well.
Okay.
Yeah, like right in the middle of whatever they're saying.
Yeah.
He's like, well, yeah, okay, well, I'm going to go then. I got a thing. Or I do this. Or you can do this one. Oh, you know what? I just remembered. That's another one. See? You can have that. Just go. I just remembered. I got a thing.
I'm dead.
And they're like, what's
that? You got a specified thing, though.
But did that...
Like
but that
you got a thing. Like, what is the thing?
But that buys you time to think of the thing.
Oh, that's true.
Because you're like, oh, I just forgot I had a thing. Like, what thing? And you go, it's a candle making class.
Yo, that'd be kind of fire.
See? That's what I'm saying, though. But that's a believable one.
Honestly.
Yeah. You'd be like, oh, yeah, okay. I get that. That makes sense.
Candle making.
So we can end the... So this is now how we end the intros. Is I'll go, hey, Jay, you know what? I gotta go.
I got a candle making class.
Yo, and yo, it's Simon Illiff.
And this is Jay.
This is Two Gimps Walk Into a Bar podcast. Damn, did I just ramble through that? It's the Two Gimps Walk Into a Bar podcast brought to you via the Anchor app. You know how we do. We record this podcast on this app and edit it and distribute it and do all kinds of shit with it and get it out to the world. I call Jay. Jay calls in on the phone and boom. It's so simple. It's so simple that anybody can do it, so you should do it too. Who produces this podcast?
Oh, just Alchemy LLC.
That is right. And let's add to the noise of 2020 and have everybody and their mama out there make a podcast, put that shit out. It's exactly what we need. More people talking about nothing.
Facts.
Anywho, so my birthday is coming up. I've told everybody and their mama that my birthday is coming up.
Which is wild, you normally don't really put your shit out there, like birthdays and stuff.
I know, and I don't know what's compelling me this year to do it, but maybe because there's not a lot of excitement going on, and maybe people need something to talk about, something to be joyful and happy about. Right. So I'm like, you know, everybody's out there being a bummer. How about let's enjoy my birthday?
Right.
You know? So, speaking of birthdays... you so very kindly asked me what I wanted for my birthday on an Instagram Live, and we were talking about it, and we brought up, I think I jokingly said, jokingly and half serious, said, I need some new AirPods. And you said, Simon needs some new AirPods. Oh, yeah? Watch this. And Jay got me some new AirPods, y'all. What the hell? That was super. When you called me later that night, I felt so happy and appreciative for you, or, you know, towards you. So I was like, that's so sweet. Like, it's so nice for anybody. I don't care who you are. This is a very sweet and kind gesture. I appreciate you so much. Thank you. I got him yesterday. My old ones were busted. Apple, you need to work on the AirPods for little people because the way they pick up audio is not good. Because how many times, let's do the testimonial. How many times did I talk to you, Jay, on the phone? When they were new, they seemed to work fine.
Yeah.
But as the months went on, like not even, 2 months in, people start going, what? What'd you say? What? It cut out. I can't hear you. Like, all the time. I didn't do anything to them. It's not like I was, throwing them in mud puddles and, peeing on them and all kinds of weird shit.
I fucking
did. Ew. Or, caked up earwax. I clean them every week. So they just would do that to me, and these new ones have a little shorter little microphone thing. So I'm thinking they're going to work better. They sound great, by the way.
Oh, really?
They're awesome, yeah. And they actually test themselves when you put them in. It does this thing in the Bluetooth settings. It says, test my AirPods. And you go to it, and it plays music, and somehow it analyzes your inner ear. And it can tell what sound is getting out, outside your ear. And it tells you, they give you, I don't know if you've ever used earbuds, but maybe they, it's you get fitted for, either a hearing aid or earbuds that can have different tips, different, rubber tips. Well, these have three different tips, small, medium, and large. And the app will tell you which tips will give you better sound.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, based on the results of the test. So it can tell what sound is leaking out. And it'll say, use the bigger earbud tips. It's pretty wild.
Oh, wow. It tells you which one?
Yep. It's because mine, apparently I have big ear holes. I don't know. But I had the medium ones, and it was put the bigger ones on. And then I tried, and I was oh. Because it'll block out. Here's the thing about the earbuds. They kind of work like hearing aids because it does noise canceling. So if you're listening to music, it can block out outside sound, right?
Wow.
And then it has a transparent mode that will actually amplify the outside sound.
Oh, wow.
So if I'm just at Starbucks with a mask on, I got to say that so nobody freaks out. So if I'm at Starbucks with a mask on, and I just have my earbuds in, I can sit on transparent, and I can still hear everything, even though my ears are blocked.
Wow.
So basically, it acts like a hearing aid.
That's dope.
It's dope, right? I think this technology is so GIMP-friendly that it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So, I'm rambling already, but I'll stop again and say thank you. That's very much appreciated, and I just can't thank you enough. I saw a thing on YouTube. Apple's coming out with glasses. Yep.
That's kind of fire.
Can you imagine this?
Yeah.
But here's the thing. They look... Now, because I've had glasses. I think you and I have similar... remember when I had glasses in that video?
Yeah.
This looks similar to yours. That's nice. What the Apple glasses look like.
Oh, nice.
And apparently it'll
what do they do?
Well, I don't think they know specifically, but they're saying that it'll project data onto the glasses.
Nice.
How wild is that?
That's trippy, bro. That sounds like movie shit.
Oh my god, I just had an idea. What if it was a real life Tinder, where you could be in a public place and a person's profile comes up on your glasses and you can just swipe with your hands in real life and say no? That would be a much more obvious rejection. What if you're just at a restaurant, people are looking at you swiping right and you're like, yeah, they like me, or left.
I'm fucking this, and you see a little picture of that person in your glasses.
Yeah, exactly. And then you're frowning in real life. She's like, damn, yeah, like, I never swipe left all day. Shit.
Fucking dead.
That would be amazing, though. Actually, it'd be scary, because then it'd have to be able to, like, track your face, basically.
Yeah, that's true.
To be like, oh, this is J Manuel. Well, you wouldn't be on any of those sites, but, you know, because no, you're taken, we know. But me, you know.
Yeah, you could
be able to. I'd be all over that, and.
You could let me know how it goes.
I'll let you know, yeah.
That'd be fucking wild.
That would be. But although it'd be dope, though, if people could see you and be like, if you made your profile public, so if someone ran across you, think about that for business, though. That would be dope. You could be at, like, a show or something for an artist you like. You could be at a show and people look at you and be like, oh, Jay's a producer. Dope. Oh, like, his IG came up. Oh, shit. Okay, his website came up. That's kind of dope, right?
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah. Anyway. That Apple needs to hire me. I got the ideas. I got ideas. Yes. Be the ideas man over there.
That's all they need.
I want to talk about birthdays again, not selfishly.
You got me a keyboard, I think.
I did. Now, I was, by the way, shout out to Native Instruments. Shout out to our boy, Chris, right? Is Chris? Is it Chris?
I thought we weren't going to shout him out.
Oh, yeah, we are now.
I think
I meant don't shut him out until it was done, is what I meant.
Yeah. Now I wonder if the account that I hit up, does he have two accounts?
He might. He's got a 12-bit soul in his own personal one. I bet.
That's who I thought. I thought I was talking to a separate person at first, and I was like, did I hit up the right person?
Yeah, you did. Wait, you did. Yeah. Cause they call.
I was so happy.
I think his nickname is Spanky. I think. Yeah, I know two Spankies. Anyway, super nice guy, you know, and everybody at Native Instruments. Shout out to them, you know.
Yeah, I was so happy. Holy shit.
Yeah.
And I don't even know how they do that, bro. How they, like, do discounts. Like, you can create discount codes and shit.
Yeah, well, I think what it is like, if you have connections to companies, they want people that are doing things to get their products. You know, and the cost that they pay to get it made is so little. Do you know what I mean? Right. Like, because I wonder, like, I know when I, like, a machine micro is what, probably $350? I bet it costs them only $100 to make. You know what I mean? So even if they give an artist a discount, they're making a little bit more, but they're going to make way more because somebody that's doing stuff is using their product. And somebody's like, oh, I want to be like Simon. I want to use a machine micro. You know what I mean? Like, or I want to be like mini producer. I need that, you know, Control 32 or what, you know. So that Control 32 is dope. I have one. I love it. You'll love it. It can do all kinds of cool shit. And
that's what I'm excited about. I'm excited about, like, being able to play and stuff.
That's what I want to see. I want to see you throw it down.
I'm going to go on Amazon because there's a guy, his name is Curtis King, and he has the little stickers
okay.
that go on the keyboard.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm going to get.
Okay.
So I can, because, like, I know the keys, you know what I'm saying? But I feel like it wouldn't be terrible for me to know more.
Yeah, and I think, too, the more you do it, though, the more you won't even need it. You know, you just do it by ear and play what is, you know, your play what you're wanting to play instead of worrying about, like, is this the right note? Like, you know, you have a good ear. You know, you can tell what's good and what's out of key and all that stuff. So I ain't worried about it. But definitely, when I was a kid, actually, I had the company Casio. I don't know if you remember them or know about them. But they made these little keyboards when I was young, and they had songs like built into them. And this is wild, but the keyboard my grandparents bought me, it had lights above every key, it would show you how to play the song. So it would play it by itself. And then it's like different modes. Like,
I think I had a keyboard like that.
Yeah, they make newer versions that are like really more way more advanced. But yeah, I had one of the early ones like that. And that taught me so much. Like, you learn chords and playing the melodies and all that stuff. And that, this one I had, though, had really tiny keys. It was awesome. Yeah, so shout out to little keyboards. But that's the other thing. See, once again, wins for little gimpies like us. You know what I'm saying?
Thanks.
So, wins for little gimpies. That sounds like a podcast title.
Yep.
Wins for little gimpies. I gotta make note of that. So let's talk about birthdays for a minute, if you would care to indulge me. I feel like maybe we even talked about this last week, because we talked about graduations. But did we talk about birthdays?
Yes. No, we haven't talked about birthdays like that.
Do you have any birthdays that stand out that you remember? Was there anything special, anything particular?
You know me, I just like to eat food.
Right.
So any birthday that involved like eating food, I was pretty...
Okay.
Okay. I'm very simple.
I dig that. Here's a weird thing. I was thinking about this last night. In preparation for the show, you know, and usually the day before I start brainstorming, like, what could me and Jay talk about? So, and I was thinking about, you know, might as well talk about birthdays. Then I started to realize I don't remember a whole lot of my birthdays. That's weird.
Thanks.
Yeah. And I don't know if I consciously blocked them out, but the two I remember we had a pizza party at my house. And I had like 5 or 6 friends over. I didn't even know I had that many friends. I think 2 of them were my real friends. And the others were just there because they went to my class. You know, they're my...
Oh, yeah, no.
Yeah, because if you don't invite them, they're like, my mom told me you had a birthday party and didn't invite you. And you're like, ugh.
Yeah,
so you had to invite everybody. So, but shout out to them. Excuse me, but I remember we had pizza. That was always the case. My birthday, I just wanted pizza. That was my, you know, childhood demand. Was we having a birthday, we having pizza. But then I combined the two loves of birthdays and pizza in a birthday cake. Wait, it was a birthday cake pizza. Ooh, so man. It looked like a pizza. Excuse me, but it was a thin birthday cake.
Oh, fine.
I just remember it wasn't all that, but it looked cool. I just remember nobody was super like, oh my God, this is the most amazing thing ever. I think they were just like, well, we would have rather had a cake or a pizza. But instead you get birthday cake pizza. Anyway, yeah. So that was the highlight. And here's the weird thing. I remember more Christmas gifts that I got than birthday gifts.
Christmas. Oh, they're late.
Like, do you remember any birthday gifts that you got? I'm legit trying to think.
Yeah, I don't know.
I only remember ones I got when I was older. You know what I mean?
I'm there, yeah.
Like, I got a drone a couple years ago.
Right.
And I wrecked that shit. Almost decapitated myself in the house. Don't fly those things in the house. So, I almost took my own head off.
How are drones, though?
How are they?
Because, you know, I've seen, you know, people have them and shit.
They're pretty dope. I think you would have fun with it. I think any individual, like, if you can't do a lot of physical activity, like, you know, we can't run and climb and do all that wild shit, something like a hobby, outdoor hobby like that, flying a drone, flying an airplane, would be super, like, it's fun. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can spy on your neighbors. That's creepy. One thing that one of my friends did, this shit makes me laugh every time. They live out in the suburbs, right? And they got a drone for Christmas. And it was an expensive one. Now, those things can get really expensive. It was a very nice one with, like, a camera built in and all that.
Oh, shit.
They took that shit outside. Remember, they live in the suburbs, out in the country. That bitch took off on them, and they never found it again.
Oh,
dude. Why does that shit make me laugh? I don't know.
Hilarious.
There was a guy in my neighborhood. Actually, have you ever had something happen where somebody just kind of being a dick? And you're like, yo, I wish somebody would shut them up, or I wish karma would bite them in the ass.
Yes.
Well, there was this guy in my neighborhood. I think he lived in the same apartment complex. This dude would be out in the driveway flying his drone, okay? So I'm like, first, it's kind of creepy because is he looking in apartments? Like, what's he doing? You know, I don't think he was, but it's just like, dude, why are you flying it here? Like, go to the park or something. So he's doing this every day. Like, I come home from the studio. He's flying it in the driveway. It almost got ran over a couple of times. People coming out the parking garage weren't happy. I was always like, is he going to attack me with that thing? And then one night I came home from the studio. And he's outside, like, looking around. And I hear him talking to one of his friends. He's like, yeah, I don't know where it went. I don't know where it went. And in my head, I was like, yes. Yes. So he lost that thing. Good. Never saw it again. So.
Good.
That just goes to show y'all, don't get drones.
And don't be a dick.
Thank you. That's from Jay himself. Don't be a dick. We could have a public service announcements. You know, our own public service announcements. Don't be a dick, and don't fly a drone. Do you feel like, or would you be scared to live in a world full of drones? Like, do you feel like drones are just going to be...
No, I think that'd be kind of weird.
What's that?
Yeah, I don't feel like everything is, like, watching me or something. I mean, I already feel that way anyway, but I'd really go with them.
What else can a drone do? Like, because don't they say, like, you can deliver pizza with a drone?
Yep.
Like, think of all the wild stuff you could do with a drone. But then it's like, how do they know it's you? You know what I mean? Could you just be, couldn't I just be outside and a pizza flies by and I'm like, oh, hey, that's my pizza.
I'm fucking dead. It just, like, flies over here.
Yeah, you just grab the pizza. I have a feeling people are going to get, like, shotguns or something and there's going to be a lot of drone loss. So,
yeah,
you know, I don't know. We might be well on our way, especially with all the social distancing going on. You know.
Yeah, I wonder how long that's gonna last.
Yeah, what do you think now? Because I mean, now we're like.
I don't even know these days.
Well, I think once again, you and I benefit from the fact that we both have home studios we work out of. So we're not truly affected, which I'm sure you are grateful for, and I know I am. But I will say this. Like, I got out for a little bit yesterday when I went to pick up this package. And, you know, it was kind of nice to be able to go outside. I mean, the thing is, you can go outside. There's nothing illegal or wrong. It's just how close you are and how many people you are around. Now, people are wilding out. Like, they're really wild. They're just wild. People are acting like nothing happened.
Fucking...
So, what did you say?
No, I said, like, people just are bugging too, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I hate to give predictions, but I'm going to see... I don't know if it was you I talked to, but I was talking to someone recently, and I was like, I'm going to wait another 2 weeks because people start getting out about a week ago, and it takes up to 2 weeks for it to show up in people. So, by the end of next week, unfortunately, right after my birthday, we should start seeing what the effects are.
Yep.
Because I need a haircut so bad. I look beastly.
Yeah, man. I would say... If you did it yourself, that's what I've been doing.
I know, but you're lucky. You got the low cut, like.
Yeah, that's true.
You can shave it off nearly and be good. Do you, like, use, like, a number one guard or something?
I have, like, the one guard, but I used the two. I don't know.
Okay.
I'm still learning. holidays, like, shit.
I got you.
Every time I donate, I learn something new.
I'm not to make it racial, but that's amazing that I know more about guards than you do. And white people don't even go into that. I used to go into the barber shop, my old barber, Previn, in Philly. I go to the Philly barber shop, the one at the Gallery Market Mall. And you just, by the way, I want more. I'm making this racial today. This is for society. I'm doing my part. I want more white people to go to barber shops, black barber shops. I said it. I do.
Yeah.
Because
I mean, no.
Go ahead, please.
Whenever someone black gives a white person a haircut, like, their whole life upgrades, bro. No offense. Y'all haircuts sometimes, they be kind of whack. I'm not gonna lie. They just look like basic white person haircut.
Yeah.
Because like, y'all don't do the cool fades and shit. Y'all do. I went to a white place.
We're making it racial. You say that's every place. Ah, yes. This is the best podcast ever.
I've been to a white
place.
It's not even a barbershop.
Oh, no.
I don't even know if y'all call it a barbershop. A white salon. I don't even know.
Well, it depends. I think it depends on the ratio.
There were a lot of men there. It is geared towards men. Like, I went to a sports club.
Okay, that's a barbershop, but that's a haircuttery. Let's call it what's a haircuttery.
Yes,
there we go.
It's a haircuttery for white folks.
Yes.
So I went there because I just needed a haircut. The time was near. And she tried. You know, I give it to freaking Ashley. I don't even know what her name is. We're going to call her Ashley.
Yeah, the odds of it being Ashley are very high. Go ahead.
Yeah. So she really tried her best. But my gosh, did I know that it was just not meant to be. And I'm not saying white people can't do my hair, because I don't think that's
insane. No, that's not, that's...
It's just, like, texture-wise, if you don't understand the texture, you're probably just not gonna understand the whole haircut. It was not good. She wasn't fading shit, and she's not a barber, so I guess that's why. I don't know. It was just a lot of things, but when y'all go to a barbershop that's, like, predominantly people of color, because it's not just be black folks, but, like, if it's person of color, man, they hook y'all up, bro. They give y'all the nicest, crisp fade.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all, man, you can always tell. Not always, but typically I can tell. Versus, although I will say there is an exception. Your homie, Lorenzo, that white guy.
Yeah.
He can give a fuck.
Hell yes. Shout out to Lorenzo.
Because I've seen him give all types of people haircuts. White people, black people. So, you know, he's one of those rare finds that I've, you know, seen. But in general, my gosh, it is something for
it's,
there's a difference.
It's like, it's almost like if you got rhythm, you know, you could probably cut some hair. No, that's not true. But here's the thing. It's unfortunate that we're drawing this divide, but it also shows that some things jump the racial boundary. I think a lot of things do.
Yeah.
And I know this sounds weird, and I know we always joke on here, but I'm going to make a serious statement. I really think this is part of the key to some of the shit of people understanding each other. Go to a black barbershop. Yo, we aspire to get Killer. We aspire to get Killer Mike on here one day. And maybe one day we do.
Yeah.
I'm going to make a call out to, you know, by the way, I hate when people go, you know, talk to your people. They say, but white people ain't my people. Everybody's my people. So, fuck all y'all. Everybody. Every race. I fuck with people. I don't call white people my people. Just, that's for the record. But that being said, if Killer Mike was on this podcast, and, you know, if the powers of the universe be with us, one day he will be. And I'll say, Mike, let's do an initiative to get white people into your barbershops. Because, first of all, it'd be dope for business. And two, you hang around people outside your race, you start understanding how much we all have in common. Instead of, that's your shit, that's my shit. Now, here's the thing. I get my haircut at a salon by, you know, a female stylist. She's a stylist. By the way, she can cut any kind of hair.
Yeah, that's true.
But also, I have, like... like the way I have my hair cut is I look like a major league soccer player. So I wear like my hair's. I'm having a midlife crisis. No wait, my hair is having a midlife crisis, but I'm not. So my hair is trying to look 20 years younger. Anyway, she does a great job. But here's the thing, like, and not only that, but like, there are salons. I'm gonna go here. If anybody has a problem with it, kiss my ass. I'm not generalizing either. The barbershop or the hair salon that I go to is in a gay neighborhood in Atlanta. It's in Midtown. And a lot of the stylists there might be gay. But you know what? I don't give a shit. They're the coolest people on the planet. You can't be homophobic. Go up in there, get your hair done. They probably cut your hair better than most people. I said it. Yes. It just is what it is. You know what I'm saying? Like, for real, for real. But look, anybody can give a bad haircut, is what I'm saying. It's another podcast title, but we already had a bad haircut podcast. But that being said, too, is like, go to one of those salons, get your hair cut, and then you realize maybe some of the preconceived notions you had about people are wrong. You know, because, like, if you go into a place and you're homophobic, and by the way, I'm like, you know, I'm just saying, for example, or if you're a racist, or if you think you're not racist, go to a barbershop, by the way. You know what I mean? Go to a salon.
Really,
like, and just find out, and if you're like, if you don't feel uncomfortable, you need to get to a point where you don't feel uncomfortable. I don't feel uncomfortable in any of those situations. Because I don't have any problem with people. It's like, you do your thing, I do mine, but we're all human. We like what we like, we do what we do. We all come from different backgrounds. Like, I got my hair, like I said, I got my hair cut in a Philly barbershop for 7 years, and I'm one of the few white people that went in there. And there wasn't a problem. Not only that, but I felt better for it, not because, by the way, this ain't some public service announcement, like, oh, I'm going there, therefore I'm not racist. No, I'm not racist because I'm not racist. I just went in there because they gave me a good haircut, and Previn became my friend. Done.
Right.
Anyway. See, I'm passionate about that shit. It drives me insane, but you are right. It's the talent that wins. It's always talent that wins.
Mm-hmm.
It's like us being in wheelchairs. Like, it don't matter. We make good music. People will buy our beats or work with us. Like, it's the same thing. If you're a great stylist or a great barber, then you'll do good. It don't matter what you look like. Do your thing. Shit.
Yep.
I'm angry. I'm kidding. I'm angry. That shit drives me insane. I don't even know where we got started on that. Just from talking about haircuts. Oh, because you said number two guard. That's how I know that a number two guard and number one is, because I go in and Previn would be like, hey, we just put a number two guard and just shave your head. That's what I used to do back in the day. I was like, yep. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Because I hated, I was so intense. I was like the Gary Vee back in the day. I didn't want to mess with my hair. I was like, I want to get up, take a bath. I don't want to wash my hair. I don't want to comb it. I just want to put a hat on. And you go, okay, say no more. Just cut my hair off. So, I mean, because when have you ever seen me without a hat? Not very often. So, I think as I get older, though, girls like me when I have longer hair. So, I think I'm just getting, maybe I'm trying to attract a mate.
It's
my mating call. Is the middle age haircut? It's like, hey girls, I'm cool. I'm young and exciting. That's my pickup line. Hey, I'm young and exciting. Can I buy you some La Perea? The Instagram's getting wild, by the way. At night, I know you haven't. I know you're doing your own thing. But a couple of nights?
No, I popped in a few times.
Okay, the past couple of nights got wild. Somebody basically said they wanted to, how do I put this? They wanted to put clown makeup on and do friendly things to me. And they were dead ass serious. But then they realized, I said, I don't like clowns. And they're like, oh, my bad, I thought you liked clowns. I said, dear God, no. You know how much that would scar somebody? If you, like, a clown shows up in your room wearing lingerie. Like, honk, honk, big boy. Let's make some balloon animals out of that thing. You're like, get the fuck out of here.
You know.
Yo. I don't know.
Yeah. You know, I've been focused on finding a new place. Yes. So I've been looking
Let's talk
around
about it.
Still. Yeah, I looking at your neck of the woods. And then, you know, going to be looking at other places as well. Because that's the responsible thing to do, I guess.
Yeah. Unfortunately, yes.
When you got to talk, you got to talk to yourself.
Yes.
I can't put my eggs in one basket, so I'm still looking around. Still going to be looking around, you know, sometime.
Mm-hmm.
Which is so weird to be looking again for places to live. But the time is coming, you know, where that's going to be a thing. So, I'm still looking around.
That's the thing. That's the thing when you're young, you know, you know, it's kind of.
That's what you told me, too. You gave me advice. You said that I should probably look at places, too, and not just be so set on.
Right. And, I mean, by the way, it's good to have your heart. It's good to have your heart set. Or I will say this. It's good to have that focus. If you're like, you know, hey, Simon, I like where you live. I'd like to live around it. That's cool. And I think you should set your mind on that.
Right.
You know, obviously, but then if another offer comes around, just be smart and go, oh, but this is just as good. And or may even be better, you know. But it is good to have that goal. And when I was your age, I had moved so much. And I think it's okay for younger people to, you know, bounce around. You know, like see where you want to live. Like spend a year in a place and then go, oh, you know what? I want to move. Like if you got someone to help you, it's good. That's another good reason not to have a whole bunch of stuff when you're young. Because when I was young, I'll just tell you this, if I can make it quick. When I moved away from home, so if you can follow me here, I lived on campus, moved off campus for the summer into an apartment with Patrick. Shout out to the homie. And then I moved back on campus for my sophomore year. The next summer, I moved into a different apartment. So that's already three different places by my junior year in college that I lived. And then I lived in the dorm for the next 2.5 years. I didn't move out because you can stay there on breaks, and I just stayed in school, like summer classes, you know, all that, every class I could take just to graduate on time. So then when I graduated, I didn't want to go home yet, or like I didn't know where to go yet. I lived with my old roommate. He was a grad student, and I lived in his apartment on campus, which in retrospect might have been illegal, but what are they going to do now? But I lived with him for 6-7 months. I lived in the studio for a while, and then I had an apartment, another apartment in Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
And then I moved back home for 3 months. All of it, so that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I think 5 or 6 places from the time I was 18 until I was 24. I lived in 6 different places, I think. And then I moved to Philly. And I just lived in one place there. Like for 7 years.
Oh, wow.
And then I moved to, by the way, in Atlanta, I've lived 3 different places. So, you know, it's good to bounce around, find out what's... I've stayed where I am the longest because it's, you know, it works the best. You know, and I think that's what's... We've talked about this in here before. You know, to all the wheelchair people out there, find out what works for you and try to live there. You know what I mean? What's important to you? As far as where you live, Jay, what do you think?
I want a 2-bed, 2-bath.
Okay.
Like, that is not negotiable.
Okay.
Just because, one, you know, for me, even with, you know, having someone that's going to be with me, but even if I didn't, even if I didn't have someone living with me, I still want to have that option of having another space, you know, just in case I want to turn into an office or like a studio room or, you know what I mean? Like, have options to do whatever.
Yeah.
So, and then obviously I want to be close to where I can access certain things like grocery stores and stores, like just in general, that I can get to pretty quickly. My chair and transportation services and all that stuff.
Right. So. I think that's, you know, it's such a, for someone in our situation, you know, the adaptation is key. You know, and we've talked about that before.
Yep.
A lot of that comes down to where we want to live. It has to be, it's almost like a compromise. You know, it's like, because even people say to me, like, you don't own a car. And I'm like, no, like, even in Atlanta, no. Like, it'd be stupid expensive just to have a car to, you know, I don't drive, so I'd have to have a driver. And you have parking, you have insurance, you have all these expenses. And it's like, yo, and you get benefits and privileges when you're in a wheelchair, and you can take a bus for $1.50 or whatever it is, you know what I mean? Like, if you want, bus and a train. And, you know, if you have a couple extra dollars, you can take a cab. Like, you know, so it's but then you have to, that's kind of why I live where I live now, because when I first moved to Atlanta, I was just outside the city. Like, out in Decatur, like South DeKalb, so like outside the perimeter, barely. But it was a nightmare to get downtown. It took us like, me and Pat had to walk like almost a mile to a bus stop and then take a bus to a train just to get downtown.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was like an hour just to get downtown or more. And, luckily, you know, we didn't have to do that very long. We ended up in Midtown. But yeah, once you start living in Midtown, like, all these things they make for people with disabilities, you know, suggestion to the powers that be, they should make that shit just more convenient. Make it downtown, but make it affordable. You know, yeah, you're giving a little bit of a privilege to people with disabilities, but that's how people exist. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, because they make I don't know where they're at, but either the accessible housing that they make are in either shitty neighborhoods or they're just horribly maintained. It's like, why can't you make a nice one where people can live with dignity and, like, go around and do their thing? And it's convenient. It's downtown. It's right next to the train or a bus route or a shopping center, you know? Anyway.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, convenience is a big thing.
Convenience and just... convenience, yeah. Yeah, I mean, literal accessibility. Like, I should be able to... That's how you create constructive citizens as well. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like our friend Jimmy in Philly. You know, he lives downtown and he works downtown. That's dope. He works for Blue Cross. It's like a kind of corporate gig. Jimmy, text me. Tell me what you make a year. He's doing all right. He bought a condo. Shout out to him. He actually outdid me. Because he used to come to my condo. I was renting it. I never bought my condo. He used to come and hang out with me there. This fucker. Yeah, gets a corporate gig. It's like, I bought a condo. I'm like, dude, I love you. That's so dope. Killing it. It is, right? So, I'm just too much of a bachelor to buy anything. So, I like bouncing around too much. I think ownership is good, but it can be overrated. Because I think you mentioned it. You don't want to buy a house yet, do you? Right.
No.
So, I think you're too young. Like, who knows? What if you start making some connections and somebody's like, hey... we want you to make music for this TV network. Come to LA. We'll put you up in a... You know what I mean? Like, you got to be able to move. You're young.
Right.
You know, if you get to be 30 and you're settling down with your girl, and like, you're like, okay, now we get a house. So.
Yes.
That's how it should work. I don't know what happened to today. I was like jumping on here, want to talk about birthdays, and we turned it into like a socio-political discussion.
Yep. No, I mean,
I'm like Killer Mike, but I'm small and white.
Okay.
Yeah. Shout out to him. Anything else exciting? I mean, I can't really think of anything. Oh, wait. Was today appetizer day at your house? Damn.
No, we made cinnamon rolls.
Oh, damn. Horrible.
Yeah, my mom and I made them.
I know you can't see me, but I'm shaking my head over here. So I'm like, damn, I would love to have some cinnamon roll action at my house. My best friend's in-laws, shout out to Harold and Melissa. I know they don't need a shout out. They wouldn't need that, but they're so nice. They've been like being so kind to me during all this and bringing me groceries and stuff. They once again brought me. Are you ready for it? You ready? They brought me taco ingredients, like a bunch of it. I've had tacos for about 3 days straight, and I'm not even out of it yet. Can you ever get tired of tacos?
No.
Okay. Well, I agree with that. You can get tired of sandwiches, but you cannot get tired of tacos.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I had so many sandwiches. It's been insane. Like, be grateful that you are, I got all these, like, hiccups and burps and stuff. That's what I get for drinking all that carbonated water. But you got all those perks of being with your parents, because they're making stuff and cooking and baking and, damn, not baking, but baking.
Yeah, my dad, he's going tonight. Well, he was supposed to. I don't know
okay.
the weather and all that.
Shout out to your pops for grilling. I miss some good, like, grilled chicken, you know, like, so good.
Yeah. This is random. I put up a beat for my beat store. I wasn't even going to put a beat up for this beat because it's really for my membership. But I had a guitarist, and he made me a custom guitar.
Dope.
His name is Joe.
Leytr. Shout out to Joe, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, he's fucking cool. And I didn't realize how cool it would be to get someone to, like, make you shit. But, yeah, he does custom loops.
That's dope. Yeah, those are the kind of things. Oh, you know what? I think I want to answer a question real quick on here that somebody asked me to answer. I saw my Instagram. But if you don't mind me answering his question, might give, you know, some incentive for others to listen to this. And then we'll wrap it up for today. But I got a message, you know, K-Vizo, shout out to K-Vizo. He's got a single coming out on my birthday called Garden. We announced it on Friday as we're recording this, like the previous Friday. And the guy that came up with the idea, he had like the initial, like, loops, like ideas. And I took it and made it what it is. With Patrick and Vizo and Dante Clay and everyone involved. So he hit me up the other day and he had a legit question. He's like, how do I get more placements? And I feel like you've answered this before, but I've been seeing you post so many posts, which is dope. It makes me happy seeing people using your beats. And it made me think, like, I want to give a quick thing from my perspective and then one from yours about how to get more placements. So what I can say is, my thing has always been this. I think it's a twofold attack. And what I mean by that is, one, shout out to James, by the way. This is who this is to. James, this one's for you, bro. Okay. It's like we're about to dedicate a song. You need to find an artist that you really like, that maybe isn't blown up yet, maybe on the come up, that you can really develop with you, that you can start making beats for. They, you know, you do a primary, you're like the primary producer for that artist. You develop their sound. And then you kind of grow and blow up together. Now, at the same time, what you do is establish relationships with other artists that you like and just get as many beats out there as you can. You can't worry about money right away. You know, if you want to sell beats online, and you can, but also do a fair bit of networking and just getting your music out there to be heard. Because that's how people will find you. It's like, you know, I'm saying this because of what I just said a minute ago, Jay, was like, I see all these people using your beats. You're doing what I did back in the day. Just like, I'd say yes to everybody.
Yeah.
I'd be like, yeah, I'll make a beat. Yeah, I'll mix. Yeah, I'll produce. Yeah, I'll vocal arrange. Because then, and by the way, let me tack this on. You gotta be a good person. You gotta be genuinely interested. You gotta genuinely care. Because if you don't care, and you're just like, oh, it's just another artist on my beat, you're not gonna make it. Because you gotta legitimately, like, be concerned and care. And, like, if they hit you up with an idea or, hey, can you cut out this one part for me? I mean, just do it for them. Like, because they're helping you, you know. But those are my two bits of advice, is, like, don't worry about placements right now. Just, like, get your music out there and see where it goes.
I mean, because placements aren't even...
But what is a placement now?
Oh, no.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different, like, you know, definitions of it nowadays.
Is that kind of, I mean, what is the quick method to your, you know, or your formula for, because, you know, you're still in that early phase, but I feel like you're gaining momentum, you know, which is great.
Yeah. I mean, I piss people off every day, but I did a beat pack, and, like, producers, people that just care about money don't really understand the value of a beat pack. They just see it as like, oh, why are you selling this many beats for that little amount of money? But in those circumstances, it's not even about fucking money. Every day, I've shouted out several new people on my beats.
Yep, I see it all the time.
Every day.
You know, that's why I brought it up even. Cause like, every time you repost, I'm like,
yeah, I mean,
somebody else.
I've had... Yeah, so when people are like, oh, well, why are you selling your social? It's like, it's not even about that, bro. It's about the opportunities, because now I got fucking hella artists, people around the damn globe, you know what I'm saying, potentially, able to use my beats, you know, whether it's a small amount of people or, like, a large amount, you know, all of that depends, you know, just how stuff grows. But, like, even just having the people I have had so far, you know, come on my beats is great, because I'm constantly sharing new stuff. Like, oh, hey, this person did this with my beat, and this, you know, one guy, he has a song on my beat, and he just signed a deal with somebody. He just signed a deal, which is cool. And, you know, he did a song to my beat, and he got the beat back. So, you know, and then I've been having, oddly enough, more people come into my main website where my prices are higher, and people have paid for that too. And that's what people don't understand. Like, people sometimes think so small because they just see one little chunk of what you're doing, and they're like, oh, well. But it's like, bro, I'm not stupid. You know what I mean? Like, if I have a beat pack, best believe I have other things going on. Like, I'm not just solely gonna base my whole entire thing around that. Like, you gotta have other things. But you also have to see opportunity. Like, if you're not really out there yet, then would it really kill you to, you know, give some beats out, even if it's free, or you give out beats for a prize that to some people may not make sense, but you, I think about, like, a lot of times, like, quantity, because, you know, people say, like, quality over quantity, and in theory, mm-hmm. that's really great, you know what I mean? In theory, you want every fucking artist who gets on your beats to be fucking fantastic, but the reality of that is not reality all mm-hmm. the time. You know what I mean? You're not always going to get artists that are freaking the best thing ever. However, it takes a lot to be an artist. In general, no matter where you're at, what level you are, for you to even put out yourself like that, that takes a lot. Because I'm not going to put out a song, you know what I mean? Or get in the studio and start making a whole song and mm-hmm. putting out for the world or whatever, you know? So any artist that does that, like, kudos
yeah.
to you. So, I just would say, like, don't stay so focused on, like, just solely trying to get a placement, because placement
right.
means so many things, you know, and, like, I think you should focus on building up your...
Because back in the day, a placement meant you got a song on a major label, so they had major backing, they're gonna put, but now it's an independence game, so it's like you can go gold and platinum independently, so a placement... You can get, I mean, if that counts, yep. I've got hundreds of placements. You know what I mean? And you probably are pushing, yep. you know, dozens, if not close to 56, I don't know, even more. So, but here's the thing. Here's the thing. Yep. And then we'll wrap it up for today. The thing is, the quantity, quality thing. Obviously, you want to make a bunch of good beats. But here's the thing about it. Here's how right. I feel about it now. Because I've gone back and forth on this. Now, personally, I don't make a whole lot of beats. You know, I know sometimes I think I should. Because I'm like, oh, I bet if people would buy my beats. And I'm probably missing out on... And I actually believe I am. So, I know where my shortcomings are. However, to argue against myself, the funny thing is, I think people are worried about, well, what if somebody makes a horrible song on my beat? By the way, if somebody makes a horrible song on your beat, two things. One, it's not your fault. Two, nobody's going to hear it anyway. Because it sucks. So if somebody makes something yeah. dope, like you could have the same beat. Yeah. You and I know this. We always put ourselves in this scenario. If you're a rapper and I'm a beat maker, I can make a beat that I think is dope. Now, so-and-so over here could rap on it and it sucks. Nobody ever hears it. But you rap over the same beat and kill it. And it becomes like a viral hit. Okay.
That's what's so funny. Oh my gosh, when artists say, like, you know, people that get the beat pack and they're like,
but
what if another artist shoots the beat? Who gives a fuck? What is the likelihood that you're gonna hear that artist unless they just blow up?
Well, here's the thing. If you're so concerned, I'm gonna put them in their place. Get the exclusive price and then shut up. Like, if you buy in a non-exclusive paper
yeah,
custom
like paper
work and you ain't got to worry about somebody else using that beat, then you do get the exclusivity. Anyway, it's driving me nuts. So, if people do want an exclusive, you see how I tied that up? Where can people find you on the internet?
Mini producer, and if you need a contact, you can... Hit
up, oh, you're doing it like that now.
Producer.com.
Dang.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, so like, with my ads and stuff, like, people trying
gotta
to hit
keep
up,
it separated.
Expand that into, yeah. So, and then I got miniproducer.com, where my beats are.
Dope.
Find them. Yeah, but...
Well, they can find me if they want beats, though. I only do custom beats. So, anyway... I can't talk numbers on here, but it's a lot. I mean, probably a little more than you. But not much. Depending on what they want. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I give people deals. If I'm feeling good and I got time, I might give y'all a deal. But I ain't giving y'all my publishing or writing. So, anyway, we'll talk about that next.
Oh, yeah.
or some other time. We need a whole series for
that.
But they can find me, Simon Illa, SimonIlla, and that is everywhere. That is Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, TikTok, Black Planet, Pornhub, anywhere. Did I say Instagram? I don't know. But anyway, you can find me everywhere like that. And another place you can find both of us at the same damn time is on Instagram Live once a week, 7 p.m. on Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern time.
Yep. Yeah, and I went on live on Tuesday.
Dope. So you did a beat bid type thing? Making a beat online? Okay.
Yeah, I just
it can
up.
Be what it is. Yeah, yeah, so you cook up. Just, and on Thursdays,
yeah,
we don't cook up, but we talk and we review music. So if y'all got songs or beats, you can send them to us at beatsbyminiproducer@gmail.com. That is right. So send us beats and songs. Maybe we can review it. But you got to be present to win. There's no winning. There's just you got to be present. So, anyway, all right, well, you know what it is, the Two Games Walk Into a Bar podcast brought to you via the Anchor app. By the way, Anchor was bought out by Spotify, and to let you know where we're headed in the world, I don't know if you heard this, but the Joe Rogan podcast got bought by Spotify, and guess how much they paid for the rights to his podcast? $100 million. Yep, there you go. So everybody can make $100. I'm kidding. If you want a podcast that's definitely not worth $100 million, you go to anchor.fm and listen to our podcast. Check out other podcasts, create your own piece of shit that nobody will listen to. This is not one of those things. I'm just saying. Everybody's doing it. Now, when you're born, you're handed two things: a podcast and a TikTok account.
Podcast.
Anyway, Jay, this was fun today.
Exactly.
Thanks again for the birthday gift. Much love and appreciation to you. We'll give my birthday recap next week to see how wild it was. Stay safe, and you know, all that good shit. And be kind by sharing this. And share this podcast with your friends out there.
Too.
Be kind to everybody. But more importantly, in these downtrodden times, who should we share this podcast with? That is correct, because you have
your
them.
Enemies.
They're out there. All right, y'all. Until next time, this is Simonella.
No.
All right, y'all. Peace out.